Church, that brings us all the way to today's objective. Objective number 5, we are prepared because we have been preserved. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are prepared because we have been preserved. Amen. The subtitle for today's message is this: I'm heading home. I'm heading home. Church, we are prepared because we have been preserved. That word preserved means to keep something as it is. To keep something as it is. It means to defend something or to safeguard and protect. It means to sustain and to uphold. Preserved means to keep something as it is. It means to defend, safeguard, and protect. It means to sustain and uphold. See, preservation is an aspect of our salvation. Preservation is an aspect of our salvation. See, when we were saved, that is when Jesus rescued us, we were rescued from the danger, harm, and failure that is caused by sin. That means Jesus pulled us out of some things. Amen. He pulled us out of ungodliness. He pulled us out of our old destructive life. But God did not just pull us out. He kept us out. And he not only kept us out, he keeps us out. Amen. Church, we are preserved. That's why Jesus said in John 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And Jesus said, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Once you belong to Jesus, no one can take you out of his hands. Once you belong to Jesus, you are with him forever. Once you belong to Jesus, you will never perish. Church, we are preserved. Once we become a child of God, we are forever his child. We are saved, never to be lost again. And no one and nothing can take you from him. You know, a lot of Christians don't know that. There are a lot of Christians who don't realize that once they are saved, they can never be lost. But we are preserved. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. And as always, I like to set up the context of the scripture. The apostle Peter wrote this epistle to a church that was apprehensive, because they were under the shadow of persecution. They had not yet experienced it, but persecution was coming. So they were facing uncertainty. They were facing difficult days ahead. And certainly they must have thought, how are we going to make it through? And it is in this context that we must understand, Peter is giving them words of encouragement. Let's look. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What is Peter saying to the church? Well, in verse 3, he starts by telling them what their present position is. He is saying, praise God. Praise God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given us new life. So when he says that we were begotten again, he's saying you have new life. You have been born again. And what he's saying is that now that you have been born again, you can happily expect eternal life. Amen. And you can expect eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And he is saying that this expectation that you have, this hope that you have, is powerful and alive. That's what he means by a lively hope. In other words, it is the type of hope that can influence your soul. It is the type of hope that can settle you down on the inside. It's the type of hope that can give you peace. He lets them know what their present position is. And in verse 4, Peter describes more fully the eternal life that they can expect. He lets them know that this eternal life, this life that you happily expect, it is eternal blessedness. It is eternal blessedness in God's kingdom. And it will be given to you when Jesus Christ comes back. And he describes what this blessedness is. He says it is perpetual. In other words, it is unchanging. It cannot decay. It won't grow old and it won't die. It cannot become defiled. Nothing perverse can get into it. And it is a blessedness that has been reserved for you. You have a blessedness reserved for you in heaven. But he goes on in verse 5 and he assures these apprehensive Christians that while they are waiting for this glory, that while they are waiting to receive this blessedness, that they can be assured of one thing, that God is keeping them right now. Peter is saying, while you wait for this blessedness, God is protecting you by his strength, through his ability, and by his power. He is preserving you. He is watching over you. He is guarding you so that no matter what happens in this life, this future salvation that has been promised you, it will be yours. He's not going to let anything keep you from receiving what he has promised. That's what Peter is telling the church here in 1 Peter. Church, no matter what happens in this life, no matter what my weaknesses are, no matter what my issues or problems are, no matter what the disappointments I go through or the struggles I have, no matter what happens in my life, no matter how I even fail, I'm going to make it home victorious. There's a blessedness waiting for me. See, because I am preserved. I'm not going to make it there because I have the power. I'm going to make it because I'm kept by his power. I'm under the keeping power of a holy God. But you might ask the question, why is this significant to our witness? And this is significant to our witness, church, because people have the wrong understanding of what it means to become a Christian. Many people believe that to become a Christian means I have to get myself together. And worse yet, they believe I have to get myself together and I have to keep myself together. But how many of you know you can't get yourself together and you can't keep yourself together? And for a person who is lost, this is an impossible undertaking. See, when you are stuck in your own mess, when you are stuck in addiction, when you are paralyzed under the weight of your own sin, it is a mountain that is too high to climb. You begin to ask yourself the question, how in the world am I going to get it together? How can I get it together and keep it together? But the answer that we must give to everyone is that you can. You can't get it together and you certainly can't keep it together. But if you call upon a holy God, he will not only save you, but he will keep you. You have no power in and of yourself to make it through this life, holy and righteous. But he has all the power to keep you and take you all the way home. Amen. We have to let people know all you need to do is have faith. Have faith in God's Son. That's where you start. You can't fix your life. Have faith in God's Son. He died for you. Acknowledge that he died for you and receive his offer of forgiveness and reconciliation. And if you do this, he will give you eternal life. And he will make you a new person. He will start to clean up your life. Because he'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. So you shouldn't worry about how am I going to overcome these addictions? How am I going to overcome these sins that keep drawing me in? He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll take the taste of sin out of your mouth. He'll take the desire of sin away. He can do that, but we cannot. He will save us, but then he will preserve us. That is, he'll keep watch over us, guard us so that we can make it all the way home. Church, that's good news. God is guarding us. He is looking over us so that we can make it all the way home. See, we have to stop pretending to be super Christians. As if we have gotten it together through our sheer self-determination. Because when we think that way, we run around telling people, well, what you need to do is you need to put that bottle down and you need to put them cigarettes down. You need to do this and you need to do that. No, we have to stop acting like we have done this in and of ourselves. It is the keeping power of God that makes you and I who we are. Church, it is the keeping power of God that makes us who we are. So when people say, I have so many struggles, we can say, I do too, but God keeps me. People might say, well, I'm just so easily discouraged, and we can say, I am too, yet God still keeps me. See, we need to let the lost know that God will keep you day by day. He will keep you hour by hour. He will keep you moment by moment. Because if it weren't for his keeping power, church, I would have quit on God a long time ago. If it weren't for his keeping power, I would have gone back to my old ways a long time ago. Now, that might not be true for you, but I know it's true for me. It's like the hymn that we sung this morning, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I am prone to wander. So if I was left to my own device, I would have left God a long time ago. But he guards me. Guards me from the tricks of the adversary. Guards me from my own weaknesses. Guards me from my own evil tendencies. And if he guarded me, he will guard you too. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter how big the mess. He'll keep you by his power. Church, salvation is God's complete and sufficient work. Salvation is God's complete and sufficient work. It is complete and it is sufficient for anyone who asks. When you have faith in Jesus, God is able to keep you from some things. We have three very simple points for this morning. When you have faith in Jesus, God is able to keep you from, point number one, returning to sin. God is able to keep you from returning to sin. See, Jesus saved us by grace. He shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. But Jesus did not just free us from the guilt of sin. He didn't just free us from sins already committed. He frees us from the present power of sin in our lives. How does he do that? Through the continued abundant supply of his grace. See, Romans 5:20 says in part that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We often think of that scripture as teaching us that God's grace is sufficient to provide forgiveness. And that is very true. But that abounding grace does not just mean grace for forgiveness. That abounding grace is also the power against sin itself. See, church, Jesus justified us through his blood. And he has given us access to the very grace of God. And it is by his grace that we are sustained. Amen. It's by his grace.